Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to your conference call. All lines have been placed on a listen-only mode, and the floor will be open for questions and comments following the presentation. If anybody should require assistance throughout the conference, please press star zero. At this time, it is my pleasure to turn the floor over to Eric Cohen. Eric, the floor is yours.
My name is Eric Cohen, Chairperson of Investors Against Genocide. For the last 5 years, the world has become increasingly attentive to the atrocities in Darfur and the government of Sudan's complicity in these crimes against humanity. This close attention to egregious violations of human rights by a member state is consistent with the very best traditions of the United Nations. At its start in 1948, the United Nations General Assembly adopted the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, by which member states pledged to achieve and promote universal respect for and observance of human rights. At the same time, the General Assembly adopted the Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide. In September 2005, UN members voted unanimously to accept the responsibility to protect populations from genocide, ethnic cleansing, war crimes, and crimes against humanity, pledging to take action through the Security Council when national authorities fail. For years, the United Nations has had a major focus on Darfur: humanitarian relief, promoting peace, protecting civilians, and human rights. In January 2004, a UN commission, quote, found that government forces and militias conducted indiscriminate attacks, including killing of civilians, torture, enforced disappearances, destruction of villages, rape and other forms of sexual violence, pillaging, and forced displacement throughout Darfur, unquote. It found that, quote, these acts were conducted on a widespread and systematic basis and therefore may amount to crimes against humanity. It noted a policy of attacking, killing, and forcibly displacing members of certain tribes. It recognized that in some instances, individuals, including Sudanese government officials, may commit acts with genocidal intent. The commission left it to a court to determine whether genocide was occurring in Darfur, but added, quote, international offenses such as the crimes against humanity and war crimes that have been committed in Darfur may be no less serious and heinous than genocide, unquote. The Security Council has had an ongoing focus on the humanitarian crisis and crimes against humanity in Darfur since the conflict intensified in early 2003. Security Council Resolution 1769 in September 2007, though a landmark resolution calling for a robust international peacekeeping and protection UNAMID force, was only one of many resolutions before and since. Despite close attention from the UN and increasingly stern condemnation and sanctions from world leaders, the government of Sudan continues to block or slow the implementation of UN Security Council Resolution 1769. It hampers access for humanitarian aid workers to the people of Darfur and access for peacekeeping troops, including land for UN bases. It continues support for the Janjaweed militia. The government of Sudan is neither adequately engaging in the Darfur peace process nor living up to its solemn obligations agreed to in the comprehensive peace agreement with South Sudan. Recognizing the role of the government of Sudan in the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people in Darfur and the displacement of nearly 3 million people, many governments and non-governmental bodies have been exerting financial pressure on the government. 11 major international companies have suspended their operations in Sudan or made major changes in their behavior so as to no longer support the regime in Khartoum. Sudan's oil industry is that government's main source of income. It reportedly uses 70% of its oil-related revenue to arm and fund the military and the Janjaweed militia. Sudan relies on foreign companies as partners in its oil industry. Its largest partner is China National Petroleum Company, CNPC, a Chinese government-owned oil company that raises capital selling shares of its closely related subsidiary, PetroChina. Other major partners include Sinopec from China, ONGC from India, and Petronas from Malaysia. Many groups have focused on these problem companies, with PetroChina and CNPC being the foremost of the offending companies whose activities help to fund the government of Sudan. In the United States, 24 states have made the decision to divest from PetroChina and other problem companies supporting Khartoum. Similarly, 60 colleges and universities have made the same decision. This reaction is not limited to the U.S. For example, the members of the European Parliament Pension Fund has divested from PetroChina. Similarly, PGGM, one of the largest public pension funds in Europe, has decided to divest holdings in PetroChina due to CNPC's connection to human rights violations in Sudan. While governmental and institutional reaction grows against the involvement of PetroChina in Sudan, PetroChina has advanced itself as a signatory to the UN Global Compact. If PetroChina truly aspires to the ideals and principles of the UN Global Compact, then it should use its influence in partnership with its closely related parent, CNPC, to take substantial action with its business partner, the government of Sudan. However, PetroChina has consistently ignored entreaties made by many fiduciaries to engage with Sudan, dating back to early 2005, when Harvard University abandoned its fruitless efforts to engage with PetroChina and divested. As recently as April 2008, PetroChina has been trying to dodge criticism by insisting that it has, quote, no direct, unquote, involvement in Sudan and no control or influence with CNPC, despite the well-known asset and revenue transfers allowing PetroChina to fund CNPC and the large overlap in management structures, including Zhang Zemin, who serves as president of both PetroChina and CNPC, with CNPC holding controlling interest in PetroChina. PetroChina's protestations may be sufficient defense to avoid penalties on the letter of the law, but it is surely inadequate on the spirit of the law. Further, PetroChina's lack of interest and effort in working for human rights in Sudan is significantly in conflict with the aspirational commitments expected of signatories to the UN Global Compact. Therefore, we ask the Executive Director of the Global Compact to use the privilege and prestige of membership in the Global Compact to engage with PetroChina on behalf of the people of Sudan to address the egregious violations of human rights that continue in Sudan to this day. We strongly believe that such engagement can have a very positive impact on bringing an end to the humanitarian crisis in Sudan. Now I'd like to turn the floor over to my colleague, Bart Sloap. Bart?
My name is Bart Sloap. I'm a senior researcher at the Center for Research on Multinational Corporations, SOMO, in the Netherlands. The UN Global Compact was created in July 2000 by former Secretary General Kofi Annan. It was created as a UN-sponsored platform for encouraging and promoting good corporate practices and learning experiences in the areas of human rights, labor, and the environment. It is widely promoted as an entry point for the business community to work in partnership with UN organizations in support of the principles and broader goals of the UN, of the United Nations. And it provides a basis for structured dialogue between the UN, business, labor, and civil society on improving corporate practices in the social arena. The Global Compact is a framework for businesses that are committed to aligning their operations and strategies with 10 universally accepted principles in the areas of human rights, labor, the environment, and anti-corruption. In order to become a participant, businesses need to send a letter to the Secretary General of the UN expressing support for the Global Compact and its principles. The 10 principles enjoy universal consensus and are derived from the Universal Declaration on Human Rights, the International Labour Organization's Declaration on Fundamental Principles and Rights at Work, the Rio Declaration on Environment and Development, and the United Nations Convention Against Corruption. The first principle of the Global Compact states that businesses should support and respect the protection of internationally proclaimed human rights. And the second principle requires that businesses ensure that they are not complicit in human rights abuses. In spite of these principles, PetroChina, the listed arm of China National Petroleum Corporation, CNPC, Sudan's largest oil industry partner, is linked to the regime that perpetuates the violent conflict in Darfur. The Global Compact is currently the world's largest and most widely known voluntary corporate responsibility initiative, with over 4,000 corporate participants. It's often criticized by civil society organizations because of its purely voluntary nature. Other concerns question the Global Compact's assumption that the current form of globalization can be made sustainable and equitable, the lack of independent monitoring, and the fact that some companies use the prestige of the UN in their public relations. Without any effective monitoring and enforcement provisions, the Global Compact fails to hold corporations accountable. Criticism does not only come from NGOs. The initiative has also been criticized by important scholars and intellectuals. Since 2000, the Global Compact has adopted some relevant measures to increase the credibility and the effectiveness of the initiative. The most relevant of the measures that have been implemented in the past 8 years have been the policy on communicating progress and the so-called integrity measures. These integrity measures allow civil society to submit credible allegations of systematic or egregious abuse of the Global Compact's overall aims and principles. After receiving such a complaint, the Global Compact office in New York can assist and provide guidance in order to solve the issue. That is why we are asking the Global Compact to use its own good offices to encourage PetroChina, in partnership with its parent company, CPNC, to engage the government of Sudan to help bring a swift end to the ongoing crisis in Sudan. We expect that this complaint against PetroChina will help define what the Global Compact exactly means by allegations of systematic or egregious abuse. The vague formulation of the integrity measures makes it difficult for stakeholders to determine whether a breach has occurred, that is, whether a company has failed to support and protect internationally proclaimed human rights or is complicit in human rights abuses. We hope the Global Compact Office will seize this opportunity to take a leadership role and use its influence to push PetroChina in the right direction. It also constitutes an opportunity for the Global Compact to show stakeholders that it is indeed more than a public relations operation sponsored by the UN that mainly benefits large multinational companies.